Piracy is still a major problem, and not just in the Caribbean. Jack Gottschalk is a practicing attorney. He's also one of the authors of a book called Jolly Roger with an Uzi, The Rise and Threat of Modern Piracy. As Gottschalk told Steve Paulson, the waters off Southeast Asia are among the most dangerous in the world.
Two major kinds of piracy occur in the Southeast Pacific. One, the old-fashioned kind of piracy that we're used to dealing with in terms of Henry Morgan and so forth, namely the rape, robbery, and murder, occurs to a frightening level with the boat people off Thailand, Vietnam, in that area. These people live on their boats, and there are no one knows how many people are raped, robbed, murdered in a course of a given year.
So there still are a lot of boat people. I mean, we heard about that, of course, at the end of the Vietnam War, yeah. But there are plenty of boat people
to
this day.
Oh, sure. They've been there forever, and they will always be. And they are targets. And it's almost impossible to effectively police that area. The other thing you have to remember is some of the people in Southeast Asia, and in fact in the Caribbean, who are pirates, this has been a family thing. I mean, you have your day job, but at night you're a pirate. And this has been, you know, possibly for generations. And that's also, as I say, is particularly true in Southeast Asia. In the Philippines, for example, well, we know about that. Not only are there pirates, there are also guerrilla groups, which also act as pirates. So it's a double-edged problem.
What do you mean by guerrilla groups? You're talking about political groups.
The people who seized those individuals and held them captive. I mean, the rebel forces in these various areas, particularly in the Philippines, that they're fighting over there and have been for years, they often will act as pirates. They will seize ships, too, if they're near the coast.
Are there also more high-tech operations, people with high-powered automatic weapons who seize boats?
Well, when we get to the high-powered automatic weapons, any pirate can get a machine gun. If you've got enough money, you can get a machine gun. With the big ships, and this is a thing that's probably going to make the news at some point someday, the big ships in South China Sea, the Straits of Malacca, are targets. They're targets because they're large. They have small crews. People think that when they look at these huge tankers or dry cargo carriers, that they must have a whole bunch of people on board to make it run. And, of course, nothing could be further from the truth because of the fact that everything today is so computerized to run a ship. So they have a relatively small crew. Not only do they have a relatively small crew, if you have 20 people, they may speak 20 different languages. And they are not armed in any way. The unions do not want them to be armed. The ship owners don't want them to be armed either. So they're a sitting duck, if you will. And when they're moving through the water, at night particularly, can be hit by pirates. Sometimes when the ship is moving as high as 18 or 19 knots, which is not a slow speed.
Why would the pirates want to hit these tankers?
Well, the biggest thing that they have, obviously, you're not going to steal the ship as they did in days of the buccaneers, at least in most cases you're not, although that has happened. But basically you're going to get on there to do two things. You're going to want what's in the ship safe or safes, and you're going to want the money and whatever other valuables you can steal from the crew. So they get on, and once they're on, sometimes armed with guns, sometimes with hammers or iron pipes, and they overcome the crew. The first thing usually will happen is that the radio operator, particularly, is removed from his post, and the officers and the crew are either put onto a raft and sent out onto the ocean, or they're locked in a cabin, and the pirates will go through and pillage the ship. They will then leave, as has often been the case, and the ship is still moving through the water at 19 knots, but nobody's at the bridge. On the bridge. There have been some near misses with that, because unless the people can get out of the locked cabin, or if they're on a boat, on a raft, somehow let somebody else know that this thing is moving through the water by itself, the potential for a disaster is clear. There was one estimate that, because they had a couple of close calls with this, if you're another mariner and you see this thing coming, you have no idea that there's no one running it. They've been lucky so far, but there was one estimate that if one of these things, only one, happened in the narrow Straits of Malacca, and this was able to get into, sail into the port of Singapore, a collision with anything there would shut the port for up to 6 months.
Wow.
With all the relevant economic damage and ecological damage to the fish, and so on, particularly if it's a tanker.
So is there any good solution to the problem of modern piracy?
You're dealing with a $64,000 or $64 million question. I mean, this has come up even in with the U.S. Navy, which has apparently been given a greater role in dealing with this. But again, you've got to find the pirates. And the only way you're going to be able to really reduce this, and I say reduce because you're never going to eliminate it completely. The piracy during World War II in the Pacific, for example, virtually disappeared. The reason it disappeared was there were so many people floating around out there with guns. So it wasn't, you know, it was not a worthwhile risk.
I mean, basically, if you're willing to spend the money to patrol the ocean, then you're going to cut down on the level of piracy.
It's always been true. Going back to when piracy was first noted in the Mediterranean, piracy was rampant in the Mediterranean until Rome became a major naval power as well as a land power. When that occurred, piracy basically became a very minor incident. Also, it was a technological situation because in the early days of piracy, the pirate ships were just as formidable as the naval vessels. As those naval vessels began to outstrip the pirate vessels in terms of weight, tonnage, guns, and so forth, and speed, then, of course, that meant you wanted to take less of a risk if you were a pirate and going out and trying to catch one. That was one of the reasons in the early days why, if you'll see the old ships, the old sailing ships, very often they had what looked like gun ports painted on the sides because at a distance they looked much like a naval frigate, and pirates did not want to take on that particular enemy for obvious reasons.
Jack Gottschalk is one of the authors of the book Jolly Roger with an Uzi, The Rise and Threat of Modern Piracy. He spoke with Steve Paulson.